Small Town Scuttlebutt.
Hey, good to have you back, Liz.
Good to be here, Rick.
Missed you.
I missed being here. It was weird.
Yeah, it is. I had to hang out with Evan Walsh for like 45 minutes.
He's a good time, though.
Yeah, he was a good time. He's a fun guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are you feeling? You were a little under the weather.
Yes.
You couldn't make it.
Yeah, definitely on the mend. I was in Denver the week before last for like almost a whole, work week. Mm-hmm. And I think just the travel and the long days. I mean, I'm no spring chicken, Rick. I just can't, I can't bounce back like I used to.
Sure, sure. So it's a little bit of jet lag, the altitude.
Yes.
Sometimes you just breathe different air.
And the altitude, this is going to sound so lame, but like it definitely affects me. Like I get nosebleeds when I'm out there.
Do you really?
I work out in the morning before my meetings, and yeah. I can definitely tell that I'm at a higher altitude. Like I get a little bit more, not winded, but you can just like a harder time breathing out there. I'm just not used to it.
Yeah. I was hiking out in the Rockies. About 9,000 feet is when the altitude really starts affecting me.
Yeah.
9,000 feet, it's right around there, where the labored breathing, like
yes.
literally having to stop, hands on knees, really breathe, or hands over your head is the best way to stretch your chest out and just inhale, take your pack off and just get a couple. And then also, did you have a low-grade extended release migraine headache throughout the trip at all? Do you get my?
I don't get migraines, but definitely at the end of every day, I had a headache, and I don't know if it was the altitude or it was the fact that I was sitting in a conference room for 10 hours straight with no windows.
Oh yeah,
we were literally in the basement now of our building.
You think if you were in Denver with the beautiful
mountain views,
scenery,
yeah,
and you're a conference facility, like you're in the
right.
conference hosting business, wouldn't you have like the whole west facing wall pointing towards the Rocky Mountains?
Yeah, no. There were two other leadership meetings going on at our headquarters, and we were the low people on the totem pole, apparently. And I said to my boss, I was like, how much revenue do we have to generate to get windows next year?
No kidding.
I'm not doing this again.
that's kind of a bummer. I flew out for this.
Right?
You know.
Right. We had some good dinners and some good laughs, so it was all good. But I have to say, airline travel just really blows. Every flight is full.
Uh-huh.
And on the way out there, and it's like a 4+ hour flight from Boston to Denver, I had a middle seat. Mm. I always end up with a middle seat on my Boston to Denver flights. And it's like, it's not the end of the world. I'm not the biggest person. So it's like, if I get squished in the middle, it's okay. But still, it's annoying.
Who sets up your flight arrangements?
Our travel department.
Yeah, I would have a word with them.
I know. Well, the problem is that usually I find out about these trips last minute. So I'm booking last minute, and like the only seats that are left are the middle seats. And I don't travel enough to have like priority or anything. Like I boarded the plane in Boston.
Yep.
And one of my colleagues who was flying to Denver for a different meeting was in first class. And I was like, okay, see ya in 4 hours. And I go back. I keep walking. I'm like, oh, next to the toilets.
No. The worst seat is the back row because it doesn't even recline.
Yeah.
So you're sitting up at a 45 or a 90-degree angle.
Yep.
And constantly the door banging.
It still floors me, though, that people still don't know how to go through airport security. Take your fucking shoes off, people.
Yeah.
You don't need to be reminded.
Yeah. And TSA, you can just put this incessant yapping just on a loop on a recorded from a pleasant voice, just a nice AI voice. Hi, please take out your laptops and electrical devices. Put them in the bin. Take off your shoes. Not, hey, take off your shoes.
It's literally,
What I need you to do is take the shoes off, both shoes, sir. You know, it's like, stop
but you know what?
People.
I don't blame them. If you don't know, you're supposed to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
You're supposed to take your coat off. You're supposed to empty your pockets. At this point, stay the fuck home.
You know what I'd do? I'd say, hey, lean into the authority you have. You're wearing a badge, buddy. Why don't you tell people? TSA could make a policy to just nip this in the bud. They say, hey, look, there's the sign, you know, like as you're approaching, like when you get to the carousel thing, These are the requirements. Here's your checklist, right? If you do not abide by that, you will be put into another line for special people. Right?
Yeah.
And then you can just get pulled. You say, hey, sir, you're not ready over here. And then it keeps the line. And then, you know, after you see like two people get purged, you're like, shit, honey. Okay. Do I have my shit together? Okay.
Right.
Shoes are off. Check. Belt buckle in the thing. Okay. Camera. Yes. Okay. Phone. Good. We're good.
Like, I try to minimize as much as humanly possible. Like I never wear a coat when I travel. Cause I don't want, that's one more thing you have to worry about when you go through security.
Right.
I like have my sneakers off. Like the second I get through showing my boarding pass and all of that, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I never want to be the person that the people behind me are going, Jesus Christ, lady, get your shit together.
Yeah.
So I get so annoyed.
Well, it's over.
It for now.
I'd send an email, friendly reminder that your job is to coordinate the best travel arrangements for the people that work for this company and leave their family for a week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could, you know, rise to the occasion and not give me a middle seat.
And stick me in a basement like a mole person.
Seriously, like if it's a $150 upgrade, I think the budget could swing it. I would.
I think it's like $40.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. Well, that's good.
Stories from the road.
Yeah, they're always good. I mean, people can relate to them, you know.
Yes.
Everyone can relate to the airline and the brick and roll. I actually like to fly.
I don't mind it.
You're on an airplane. It weighs tons.
Yeah.
Tons. There's like 200 people on this thing. Everyone brought 100 pounds of luggage. Like, this thing's heavy. And somehow, it gets up in the air and it flies like 400 miles an hour.
And we get Wi-Fi and I can watch TV.
Sure. You can, you're connected.
Yes.
We don't even need the airphone anymore.
Oh, remember those? Yeah.
Get out the credit card, have a phone call so everyone can listen to it. Hey, buddy, this isn't a goddamn phone booth.
Oh, my God.
Hang up. Well,
so what do we have going on this week?
I'm just staying positive. I really feel like this Lent positive, giving up negativity for Lent kind of.
Is that going to carry through post-Lent?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's the new me. I'm actually got teary-eyed this morning.
Aww.
I watched a video just on my little thing just coming through.
It's one of those military dads surprise their kid at school videos. Those fucking kill me every time.
Yeah. This one, I would put in the same class.
But okay.
Uniquely its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
A guy in Paris has a husky dog, and he walks the dog through the streets of Paris every day. Well, this husky has, for some reason, just clung to and loved a homeless man in a tent on a street.
Aww.
And the guy starts shooting the video of the interaction. Like, the guy is out, he waits for the dog. You should see, this dog acts like a puppy. You know, like when their tails are wagging and they're kind of scooting their butts in circles and they twist their heads and they jump in your face. And that's what this homeless man was over the moon. Like, aww. And I'm thinking, this guy's feeling love from an animal, and this is the most, you know, love that he's probably gotten in quite a while.
Right.
Quite,
I mean, he's
time.
Essentially being treated like a discarded object, right? He's homeless.
Probably overlooked. Sort of ignored.
And the dog, you know, as we've talked about before, unconditional love.
Yes. Yes. And what I also like is the dog owner is totally, like, understanding that this is a thing that both the dog and the person needs, you know? So he lets it happen. And I was like, get a little teary eyed. And I'm Lizzie's like, you're right. I'm like, I really think that this releasing the negativity from my life is only...
It's really softening you.
It is. In fact, I have to prep myself because my daughter wants to go with just me to see Inside Out 2 because she knows, like, she remembers how much I was crying at the end of the first one, and she wants to see it happen again. And this one, I don't know if you know part 2, there's a new personality that comes in, anxiety. You know?
Oh, sign me up.
Right. I'm like, I know all about this one.
Right.
But... I have to prepare myself, you know? I have to go watch Inside Out, the original one, you know, like 4 times until it's just like I'm desensitized to it.
Yeah.
You're a little girl growing up. You're going to move out of the house. So, whatever.
I think it's so sweet she wants to see that with you, though.
Yeah. I'm excited, too, because kids don't, like, they're very hot and cold.
Absolutely.
Like, I've accepted that sometimes I'm just a jerk and sometimes, you know, I'm everything to them.
Oh.
You know, I put a video the other day
mm-hmm.
on our social media. It just was unplanned. And had a job for my son. He's 10 now, you know, but a couple of weeks ago, he was 9 years old, and we had a windstorm or two, and there's a lot of sticks. We had to go pick him up. It's not the first time we've done this. You know, we've been doing this for years, actually. Right. Get out the tarp, put a rock at each corner so it doesn't blow away, and then we just start piling sticks, and then we drag the tarp along the yard and dump it in the woods. Well, he doesn't really have a great work ethic, and we're working on that. Like, he just actually geniusly comes up with quick fixes. Like, once I told him to take the trash barrels down to the end of the street, and he took his little Power Ranger, his little his Power Wheels, motorized. He just tied jump rope to the bumper and to the trash can and drove it down.
Life hack.
And then he whipped it around, and it was awesome. He did like a out, and the thing just fishtailed around, and I thought that was very clever. But for the most part, he tries to get out of the work, and if he can't get out of labor, manual labor, he's kind of sluggish, right?
Okay.
So I sent him outside. I got him set up. I said, here's your tarp. Start picking up sticks. I'll be out in about 10 minutes. I wanted him to get a head start. I wanted him to be a little autonomous and responsible for himself, right? Well, I go inside and I take this video, and it's just him shuffling his feet, dropping a rock on like a folded up tarp. Like, he's like, you want me to put a, you know, I know you put a rock on the tarp. He's just kind of being a jerk until I came out. Uh-huh. Right? And I took a video of this, and I thought it was hilarious. And I'm narrating it like, there's my son. I told him to put sticks on the tarp. And it's pan to him pulling a rock off a fieldstone wall, like a 200 fieldstone wall. And he throws it on the thing. And I'm like, and he's putting a rock on the tarp without giving any of the context. Because I thought, this looks really funny if you don't know everything. Small Town Scuttlebutt is the source of this video. Should be taken as comedy, right? Yeah. Well, some people thought it was funny, right? Like Mary Lou Andre commented. She's like, this is hilarious. Yeah. I'm crying laughing. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people were a little perplexed. They don't understand. Like, this is why I hate social media. Ugh. Why aren't you showing him? And there are three, four, five, six question marks. And this is all caps. Why aren't you showing him? That's Rollins Lexi. So I said, Rollins Lexi. Because, you know, when I was doing the social media training, they said you have to be very interactive with your audience.
Okay.
So I'm responding to everything. But we have to be funny. I can't be a jerk.
Right.
You know, like, hey, dickhead, you know, like, which was old Rick when he used to have a Facebook addiction.
Right.
And, you know, so.
But positivity Rick.
Yes. Positivity Rick just wants to, like, educate people and help them understand. So if I have to show a perfectly healthy and mentally competent 9-year-old how to pick up sticks and drop them on a 10x10 target placed at their feet, then we're dealing with more than stubbornness. Juleson 35 writes, dude, he has ADHD.
So now that they're providing a medical diagnosis for your child based on a 30-second video.
Yeah. Juleson 35 must be a doctor. He's
right.
He says H stands for hyperactivity. Oh, this is what I wrote back.
Okay.
Oh, Juleson 35. H stands for hyperactivity, which is completely the opposite of what we are witnessing here. He just didn't want to work.
Lack of activity.
Yeah. He just didn't want to work. This is called character building. So, someone responds that H also, you know, they went into it a little bit.
Okay.
And I write, true. However, H doesn't just mean, someone writes back to me. True. However, H doesn't just mean physical hyperactivity. It also means mental hyperactivity, which is classic to the inattentive, easily distracted ADHD brain. We crave dopamine, operate best when highly interested in things. Mundane tasks are extremely difficult to initiate and or complete. By the way, I have this. I've had this forever. I take a medication for I am very well aware of ADHD or ADD as I was
That's
prescribed
old school,
when I was
yeah.
in fourth grade. So I stick with it. Right? Mm-hmm. So right. Then this guy writes to me. He has ADHD. I'm sorry. I can't read poor grammar. He has ADHD. He don't need to explain something I've lived with for 65 years. Take the chip off your shoulder. No punctuation. Do I have a chip on my shoulder?
No.
I'm just trying to explain to these people, you know, without saying, hey, lighten up, it's a joke or whatever. And then there was one that was so bad that Instagram had to hide it.
Stop.
Yeah, but I didn't know this. You still get to see it.
Oh. Like,
yeah, so it'll say.
So it's not publicly facing.
It says Instagram hid this from public view, but you can see it.
Oh,
so,
do tell.
So Lee Sim 66, L-E-E-S-I-M-M 66, you're the shitty dad for not being out there with him. You're possessive. You're the shitty dad for not being out there with him. Well, I was like 18 times. It's not our first rodeo. That one you just don't respond to. But
oh
here we are.
Oh, my God.
So we put a little fun video of a kid just being lazy.
Yeah.
Identify. Are you a parent? Do you have kids that don't want to do stuff and drag their feet on Saturday mornings when you give them chores? Look at this. Do you recognize what you're seeing here? Do you feel a little better that you're not alone?
Yeah, to me, I feel like, oh, my God. Thank God someone else's kid is lazy about doing their chores, too. Like, we're not looking for parenting advice. We're not looking for a medical diagnosis here. I mean, lighten the fuck up, people.
Yeah, it's... now, as the negative... I mean, as the negative-free person...
Yes.
I actually have a little... Like, this Juleson 35, he's kind of an angry person. And doing that thing where take the chip off your shoulder.
Mm. Chip?
I hate the tactic where it's like two people are having a conversation. It's like, why are you mad? Oh, I'm not mad. No, you seem like a little bit. And then he slowly but surely, the person's like, God damn it, will you stop asking me why? I'm not mad. I was mad. I'm mad now. I wasn't mad five fucking minutes ago. You know, hey, man. And then they just let to see you like lose it.
Yeah. I always have to wonder, what is going on in someone's life that they feel that they have this genuine, or at least I think it's genuine, sense of anger at a seemingly innocent video? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why are they coming for you? Like, do they have a really bad childhood where they were forced to endure physical labor or they would get beaten or something? Like, I don't know. Yeah. What is going on there?
What you call a stick, we call it a switch.
That's right.
PTSD.
I shouldn't laugh about child abuse. I'm just saying, like, what is someone's problem where they're so triggered by
that? Well, then also commenting, it's just we're having fun, dude.
Trying to have fun.
Speaking of fun, do you want to do our March Madness?
Oh, yes.
Worst neighbor tournament?
Yes.
Okay, we're in the final four. We kicked it off last week.
Ooh, all right.
All right, so... do you want to tell everybody the conference representation and who's in the final four and who's going against who and all that stuff?
Yes. Okay. So in round one, we had the Dime Dropper versus Yard Storage Guy. Mm-hmm. The winner of that is the Dime Dropper.
Yep.
Which I'm kind of surprised a little bit. I feel like Yard Storage is more annoying. But hey, the public has spoken.
Yep.
We also had the Borrower versus the Gossip Girl. Mm-hmm. Gossip Girl won. Again, I'm surprised.
Okay. These are, you know what these are called? Upsets.
Upsets. And that I'm upset.
Well, upsets happen in the first round all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then we also have Driveway Defender versus Doo-Doo Dropper. Mm-hmm. No surprise here to me. Doo-Doo Dropper came out on top.
Yep.
And then the Recluse versus Loud Equipment Guy. And Loud Equipment Guy came out on top. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I'm not surprised there either. So, now we have...
This is the final
four. The final four. We've got Dime Dropper versus Gossip Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Doo-Doo Dropper versus Loud Equipment Guy.
Okay, let's start with the first one. First one, Dime Dropper and Doo-Doo Dropper. So... A lot of droppers here.
A lot of droppers.
We have to be more creative in our naming.
So wait, who's going against who? Is it Dime Dropper versus Gossip Girl,
I'm sorry,
Okay, Dime Dropper versus Gossip Girl.
Okay. What do you think? Let's talk this out and come up with a consensus and then pick the winner. It's really up to us. This is a very subjective
contest. Yeah. Well, as I mentioned on the episode where we kind of debuted this, I don't mind a Gossip Girl.
Yeah, you like it.
I like, I like the hot goss. I want to know what's going on.
The hot goss? Is that a term?
I think so.
You didn't just make that up?
I don't know. I can't take credit for that. I'm pretty sure I heard it somewhere else.
The hot goss. I'm gonna use it.
So, I mean, my vote would be for the Dime Dropper. What do you think?
I'm going to agree because mm-hmm. the dime dropper, there's not much he can do. If they're hell-bent on calling, I was going to say, oh, I had a dime dropper when I was a paper boy. This is dating myself. I was going to mm-hmm. be like, you know, like when you call on your, we don't have paper boys. When I was a kid, Mr. Zadorozny, mm-hmm. at 6:01, I'd be dropping his paper off. He'd be on the phone with leaving a message. I'm like,
what a like, douche.
You're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I'm 11.
Right.
It's 6:01, you got your fucking paper.
You know. Imagine if your son was responsible for delivering papers.
Oh my God. Yeah. Son, it's not an evening paper.
Right.
At least he's making it a weekly. Okay. So I feel like that person wants to call the cops on everything you do yeah. or whatever. That's going to be so irritating. But the gossip, you can really play them. Like they can be fun. Like if they're trying to extract from you.
Yes.
Oh, then you know, mm-hmm. know it, see the signs, and defend yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And have fun. Like this is an opportunity yeah. for some great false gossip getting out there.
And there's, you know, you don't have to share anything with this person. This person loves to talk. So mm-hmm. just ask questions yeah. and it'll be a treasure trove of yeah. information.
I told the gossip girl in town that I had my third testicle removed last month. Seven people came back to me like, dude, you had three balls? I got her. I know she's telling people.
Right?
That's how you do it.
It's a good litmus test.
Yeah, you make up, you make something up and see if it comes back. Mm-hmm. And then you know who the mole is. It's obvious. So yeah, so I think it's obvious. Yeah. We're going to go with
the dime dropper.
Dime dropper.
Now, doo-doo dropper versus loud equipment guy. I'm going to go with doo-doo dropper.
Okay. What's your rationale there?
My rationale is that I think for a loud equipment guy, maybe they're just so clueless. They just don't even understand what they're doing mm-hmm. and they're not meaning to be annoying. You know what you're doing when you're letting your dog poop on someone's lawn
yeah.
and you don't clean it up. And you probably, I would guess, do it on a regular basis because, you know, you have your route with your dog and it's, you know, the same thing every day yeah, type of deal. So
creatures yeah, of habit.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm guessing this isn't, you know, a one-time thing, that this is a regular occurrence. So I'm going with the doo-doo dropper.
Doo-doo dropper.
What do you think?
Last week I used the, I told the story about the time a woman had walked the dog, dropped the poop on, in the bag on the yard. And I said, do you mind picking that up? She's like, I'll get it on the way back. And
right.
You know, it's just, it's like, no. And I guess I'm going to agree because that person is infringing on my property.
Yeah.
Right. Where mm-hmm. the other guy is staying on the side of the street. You know, he's doing his thing. And there's rules like, okay, that decibel level exceeded, you know, a normal acceptable rate. So maybe yep. we say something, you know, or yeah. Hey, it's after 7. You know, so there's some boundaries there.
Exactly. Yes.
There's boundaries. There's etiquette that you can sort of.
Yeah. And you could go, you could say, like, if you were having like an outdoor party, you could say, hey, we're having a party Sunday afternoon. Like, yeah. would you mind not, you know?
Yep.
Leaf blowing or whatever.
Yeah. And also think loud equipment people, for the most part, know that their equipment is loud and they try to be good. Like, I was doing a lot of cutting the other day. I just shut the garage doors.
Yep.
You know, it was mm-hmm. a nice day out, but when it was time to cut, I shut the garage doors, then did it, and then mm-hmm. opened the garage doors. Because I don't think the whole neighborhood wants to hear
yeah.
me ripping plywood on a table saw.
I mean, at the end of the day, equipment is loud, right?
Yep.
But you still have to take care of your property. You know, we leaf blow a lot and do whatever. It is what it is.
I took my dog out yesterday morning mm-hmm. for a walk. Sunday morning, right? And the dog, I mean, this guy has a leaf blower, an electric leaf blower. Mm-hmm. And he's on the edge of his, like, a little strip of lawn between the woods and the street. And he's just going down that strip. Mm-hmm. It was like 9 o'clock on a Sunday. Like, that's bad timing. By the way, this is in Dover, over the line.
Ah, okay.
This
is, you
know, the land of
entitlement. Wait, someone, a homeowner in Dover, was leaf blowing their own property?
Yeah, he must be.
Must be falling on hard times.
He must be falling on hard times. Yeah. So he was out there and he didn't know how to use it. Like, dude, you were so, first of all, you have a loud machine, so be quick and efficient. I literally saw this guy blowing it like against the wind. So he's putting leaves airborne, and then the wind, the breeze, is blowing it back. He literally, I saw him kicking leaves.
Stop it.
He was trying to kick leaves out of the air.
He's like, I've been watching The Help do it. How come this isn't working?
Yeah, this is so hard. If a Mexican can do it, why can't I? You know? God. Well, buddy, they obviously can do it way better than you because you were kicking in the air.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Karate kicking. And I thought, I don't bring my phone with me on a dog walk, but I would be like, sir, do you mind if I just take a video of...
Imagine the comments that video would have gotten on our social media.
Yes. From far. Look at this man.
Oh, damn.
Anyway.
So we've got the finals. So we think it's going to end up being Dime Dropper versus Doo-Doo Dropper.
Yeah, no, we're declaring. That's how. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we get to pick.
Okay. We get to pick.
Based on the analysis and the intel that we've accrued over the course of this.
This is basically just asshole versus asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the finals next week. Dime Dropper versus Doo-Doo Dropper. Or we could take a week off like the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Let the actual March Madness tournament kind of catch up. Like we're already going to the finals. They don't even sniff the Sweet 16 yet.
And I would love to hear from our listeners if you have experience really with any of these, but specifically a Dime Dropper or a Doo-Doo Dropper.
Yeah.
Share your stories.
Yeah, we'll go on social media. Mm-hmm. We'll post that.
Yep.
State your case. And then we'll let the listener decide because we've sort of... steered this, you know, along this whole time, but yeah, we'll give it over to them. Okay, so that's all I have. So we're good. Let's go to an ad. We have a recurring advertiser, APC Pest Control.
Yep. What's up, Betty?
Betty, I know. You know what, Betty? I want to tell you, I love your name. That's why I always say it. Betty is a classic name.
Yes.
Betty. And I'm not just talking the talk. I walk the walk. My
Betty
kid's
Davis.
Name.
Betty White. I've run out of Bettys. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of good Betty Boop.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always felt like the traditional name is like classic. It's timeless. It's like a nice white Oxford button down. You can wear it. You know, I still wear my grandpa's.
Right.
My son is Charles and my daughter is Rosemary.
Mm-hmm. Those are classic.
Rosie and Charlie. They're also popular dog names. I've literally talked about my...
Charlie's a popular dog name?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
I know someone that has a dog named Rosie.
Yeah.
But
I know a couple.
Not Charlie.
Yeah. No, I was once referencing Rosie and Charlie, and someone asked me if I have dogs? No. No, they're kids. They're humans.
That would be someone's first go-to, like that they're animals?
Well, I was talking about them like they're animals, I guess.
Oh, well,
you know,
yes. Feral.
But yeah, I was talking about two rambunctious entities named Rosie and Charlie, and they just sort of...
They're crazy. Like, they make a mess.
Yeah. Yep. They pee on the floor. They eat their own shit. Does that one come out? Nah, fuck it. It stays in. All right.
So we got some ads?
Yeah. Well, we're still talking. Oh, yeah. We're still talking about APC. APC Pest Control. You know what? Do you have any varmint in your house?
So, well, everybody gets mice, right? Because it's just... A thing, but you know, we have cats, so I don't really worry too much about the whole mice thing. But I was thinking, now that you mentioned APC pests, because we do have them come out to the house every year to spray for ants, it's been getting a little warmer lately. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, we're going to have them come out. And they come out every year. They spray around our house.
They already
awesome
came?
Job. No, because it's not quite time for them to come, but soon. Yeah, so they come every year.
Well, I'm going to say this. This is a real-time, legit... story we're going to tell, a story arc for APC Pest Control advertising.
Ooh.
Okay. Because right now we're in the beginning of March and we've had traditionally warmer weather, I'd say. We have found living, alive, emerging from somewhere, four hornets inside the house.
What?
Yep.
You're kidding.
So Betty, I'm going to give you a call and I'm going to say we got to eradicate the hornets.
Yikes.
And then I know it's going to work out great. And I can share the success story on the next ad.
So is there a nest somewhere? Have you found a nest?
No.
You don't know.
No,
okay. There has to be though, right?
Well, yes, I would assume, but I don't know. That's why I have to consult the experts at apcpest.com.
Nice. All right.
That was a good
Keep
ad.
Keep us posted.
Okay. All right, Betty, I'm calling you. Okay, so we are back to now we're in the second half of the show.
Yep.
This is the big...
Getting down to business.
The big story. There's something really going on in society, in the world, in a town here in the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Yes.
That's made national news. Take it away.
Which I think is really funny. So you know how there's that old saying, Rick, don't bring sand to the beach?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the residents of Salisbury Beach did not get that message because they spent almost collectively $600,000 of their own money to cart in 15,000 tons of sand to protect their properties from future storms.
Okay.
When you live in a seaside town, you know, weather erodes the sand.
Yep.
One day your house might end up in the water. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you get very expensive insurance.
Yeah.
So they were trying to combat the erosion by carting in all this sand. Well, what seemed like a good idea at the time was wiped away in, what was it, like 3 days or something like that?
Yeah.
Again, these are private citizens that decided in January to purchase sand that was placed in mid-February along a 1.5 mile stretch of Salisbury Beach.
Yep.
Around 150 buildings line the stretch of beach, including single houses and condos. The beach stretches for about 4 miles, and the adjoining properties are estimated to be collectively worth $2 billion.
Okay, with a B.
$2
billion of real estate sitting on the edge of the country, teetering over the ocean.
So I guess in January, there were a couple nor'easters that nearly wiped the whole beach out. Properties were damaged. Decks were destroyed. One home was condemned and not allowed to be lived in. So this obviously, this is a big deal when you're living, again, waterfront property. A lot of damage can be done during these storms. However, I don't think that purchasing $600,000 worth of sand knowing that is not going to be a permanent solution was the wisest. Like, who came up with this idea and then pitched it to people who were like, sure, I'll write you a check?
Well, do they know? Do they know it's going to? Did they think it was going to stay? Like, they're replacing sand that was eroded.
With more sand.
With more sand.
How is that not going to be eroded? I mean, it's just common sense, right?
I wonder if they were thinking, that sand has been here for millennium, you know, right? This beach has been here forever. We witnessed it disappear. Let's just replace it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Maybe that was their mindset.
I don't know.
Can I see this article?
Yes.
Because there was something, I would chalk it up as perhaps maybe the most ignorant comment of all time, but you be the judge, right? So so these wealthy people, they're not giving up. One of the things that I think we could talk about is, how much do you think the state should be involved in this? Because these people spent their own money after failing to get state funding.
Yeah.
So you people with the $2 billion of oceanfront property in the state of Massachusetts,
right?
You've got all the money in the world. You want the taxpayers to ensure that your $2 billion of property collectively is spared.
And is this private? I'm assuming these are private beaches.
Yeah, most of
it. And so their taxpayer dollar, their property taxes are part of all that. Like, why are you, like, don't come for me. Don't come for my money to protect your stupid beach.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the quote. So you had asked, who's leading this? There's a group called Salisbury Beach Citizens for Change. And if you go to their Facebook page, a lot of posters have no sympathy for them. Which is, I'm kind of torn. Like, yeah, you're a human being and this is a home, but maybe it's not your first home. Like, there are people that are, what's the proper term, unhoused? Like, we have problems. Like, there's people that don't even have a house. So let's work on that with tax dollars before we start helping. I just think that would be a gross negligence of spending.
Yes.
Right? If, as a taxpayer and a voter, if I heard that the state gave $20 million to restoration of Salisbury Beach residents, I would definitely not vote for that person.
No, while people are like overdosing on the corner of Massagas Boulevard. Like,
exactly.
Come on.
Clean that up. So here's the quote from the guy. He said, he's kind of optimistic. He says, people are depressed, discouraged, and angry, said Tom Saab, the president of Salisbury Beach Citizens for Change, a group representing property owners that spearhead the sand project. The dunes did their job. They sacrificed themselves to protect the properties. No properties were really damaged. Okay. So that's your silver lining.
Okay.
Tom, are you going to do this every time? Like, are you going to Now what?
Yeah, how many? Yeah, how many times are you going to
pass the hat around for another $600,000?
Why? I mean, I don't know anything about conservation, but like, there has to be a more permanent solution. Why wouldn't you hire like an environmental agent? I don't know. There's got to be experts out there that know how to address this. Why wouldn't you put $600,000 towards that?
Right.
Versus a temporary solution that the next time a nor'easter blows into town, you might as well have lit that money on fire.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I don't know what, this is fun to kind of keep an eye on that one, guys.
Mm.
See what's going on with these folks. Because, you know, the summer's coming up. You know, they're going to need to get their beach back. Also, where did the sand come from? That poor beach.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Where do you buy that much sand?
I don't know. If I go to Craigville Beach this summer and there's a big hole in it, I'm going to be really irritated. I'm going to be like, okay, I know where the sand went.
Right?
Actually, you know what? Those assholes up in Salisbury bought that sand and just washed right back down to Craigville Beach, right?
And who gets to determine the value of sand? Yeah. $600,000 worth of sand.
Yeah. Is that a... Who's doing the futures and the trading on the
yeah.
on
should
sand?
Yeah, should we be investing in sand, knowing that
big sand, big sand. You know, there's a sand. I heard, insider trading. I heard there was a sand deposit discovered in the desert somewhere.
God, this is crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that if I had a house, you know, within feet yards, you know, from the ocean, I would move the house back and maybe get a wall.
Yeah.
Or just say, we got 3 more years in this house.
Exactly.
Let's Airbnb the shit out of it.
Right.
Get as much money back, sell it to the state or whatever. We have an exit strategy here.
Yep.
Because this isn't going to last. The other thing I thought was, this isn't going to get a lot of sympathy. I mean, this is a 300-word article, you know, in the New York Times. There's not a lot of column inches, and the people are talking about the houses have been in the family for generations and they don't want to let that go. So these people inherited this stuff in the first place.
Oh my God.
You didn't even work for it. Your fucking grandparents did. They came from Ireland.
Fucking freeloaders.
your cobbler dad, grandpa, you know, put a life together and built this house when land was cheap, and it was, and you're just here enjoying it going, we need state funding. I need to sleep at my grandpa's house this summer.
Yeah, I'll cry for those people another day.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out. Okay, well, that's all I have for today.
Awesome. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear what our listeners think about the March Madness tournament. Again, folks, we've got the Dime Dropper versus the Doo Doo Dropper. Which dropper is going to come out on top?
the answer will drop in 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, we'll give it 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, in the meantime, guys, send us your stories. If you've got any kind of crappy neighbor stories, your predictions on who's going to come out on top. But in the meantime, if you like what you hear, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Small Town Scuttlebutt, and send us a note, smalltownscuttlebutt@gmail.com. See ya.